Welcome to The Two Tones. It's Tony DeBolfo, Tony Moclair, episode 28. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Prendergast?
Oh, gee whiz, I've been some thick time on that.
That's a question without notice.
Tom Bell was 28, wasn't he?
Of course he was.
And the great Percy Jones, of course. A great man, Peter Jones, celebrated his final game in grand style with a premiership victory over Collingwood in 79.
So. I met him in Mildura when I was a kid. I stood next to him.
Is that right?
Of the most exciting days of my life.
Yes, mine host at the North Fitzroy Arms, I think, these days.
Really?
You know, the old Haskins.
Yes.
Yeah. So any Carlton supporters listening, get down there and be entertained by the one of the great characters of all time in terms of league footy, Tone. We don't have we don't get the histrionics anymore, or the hand clapping, or the the ridiculous stuff that used to go on, you know, in those great old days of pantomime, but He was a great player.
Well,
we sell him short, don't we?
Because
he was a great ruckman for Carlton, 249 games, I think.
If you don't mind.
Great, one of the great footballers. And when you look at Carlton's successes, you know, from the Second World War onwards, they've always had great ruckmen. You know, Hands, Nichols, Jones, Fitzpatrick, Madden, you know. So, yes, he's in that realm, and all power to him. The great Peter Jones, mine host, North Fitzroy Arms.
Be a showman all you like, just back it up with some talent, and he certainly did that and more. Would have been a great venue to watch the game against Brisbane. Brisbane 15-9-99, defeating Carlton. And the scoreline tells a story, Tony DeBolfo. 13-17 95.
Yes.
That's going to kill you every day of the week.
Every day of the week, Tony. And I trust that Purse had Perspex over the front of his telly down there, because I'd imagine there would have been a few boots going through that television various stages of the game. The game was effectively lost, you know, the first quarter. Mm. You know, you just can't give a team 40 points head start and
on their
win.
Home ground on a 25 degree day.
Well, you know, it was just a debacle. And yes, the team did claw its way back and, you know, save some face, but, you know, in truth, the damage was done, wasn't it? And it's a most disappointing outcome, really, Tony, all things considered. Yes, we move on, I guess.
Well, we do. There's just a couple of things I want to point out from the match, a couple of talking points. Jack's physical courage.
Well, look, I don't think it's... You know, we can question Jack's courage at all. In all of the games that he's displayed this year, I think there's been a lot of traits of Jack Silvagni that have come through. You know, his capacity to read the game, I think, is, you know, he's got that innate sense to know where to get and how to make space and how to time his runs. You know, his running patterns are really good. But as you say, you know, his bravery, you know, even thinking he's back to his first game, I think his capacity to run back with the flight of the ball, to take those courageous marks, not knowing what's coming through the other way, I think is a real credit to him. And, you know, he's a young fellow in a developing body, so he still hasn't got that sort of that seasoned definition, I suppose. So in many respects, he's fair game, you know. And, you know, coaches ask a lot of their players, you know, the players, athletes have to be brave, don't they, to cross the white line. And his bravery cannot be faulted. And I think he's been a wonderful contributor to Carlton in a year where, you know, in many ways he's almost a lone hand. You know, he's still trying to find his feet in the game, and yet we're asking a lot of him to, you know, really stand up and be counted up front. And I think, you know, to get that return of three goals, I think on top of what you were saying, the way he played was a real credit to the kid. And, you know, he's had a great year for Carlton. You've got to say, you know, he's settled in and he's motoring along nicely. I think, you know, it's one of the success stories of the season, you'd have to say, Tone.
Now, Tone, I'm going to ask you to put some logic aside here. you can only be the reincarnation of somebody who has died. Let's pretend that that isn't the case. And I put it to you, the Blaine Blog host is the reincarnation of Tommy Alvin.
Oh, well.
The physical resemblance.
Yeah. I don't know if the hair quite...
Well, they do have long hair.
Yeah,
it's
but...
It's not... Blaine's hair is maybe not as, I don't know, romance novel cover art-esque.
No, it's not. And I saw Tommy Alvin recently in, you know, the old grey has crept through those magnificent locks. But yeah, I suspect I hadn't thought of that actually. Tommy Alvin and Blaine Bocquist.
I don't know. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, yeah. It's he's a great player for Carlton, Tom, wasn't he?
He was. And, yeah.
Again, another premiership player, of course. In 87 was a great player. Was a man that seemed to nullify Gary Ablett Senior.
Yes.
Many times that he played, but. Look, if Blaine Bocquist can be half as good as Tommy, you know, we'll take that quite gleefully and gladly. But, you know, it's... geez, it was hard to find positives, Tone, wasn't it?
Well, okay, there was Buckley's turn of speed.
Yes,
which
yes.
Which is thrilling to watch.
Well, I think so. You know, it's nice to see a player like Dylan play with a little bit of freedom. He's just got to watch, he's got to be a bit more poised, I think,
yes. Well,
in his execution.
He's not Robinson Crusoe there.
No, he's not. And as you say, you alluded to the scoreboard. And 13-17, it just kills you. And, you know, I know, you know, we hear it ad nauseum from the people around here that, you know, yes, the players work on their kicking and so forth, but they've got to bring it to the table.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing out on the track, but in the heat of battle, they've just got to be so much more precise with their execution. And I think that's obviously an area that Dylan has to work on with his own game. But, you know, we live to fight another day, and it won't get any easier this Sunday, that's for sure, Tone.
No, indeed, it won't. Good to see a melee. Always enjoy a melee. I know you're not supposed to say that, but three-quarter time, there was a bit of a... There was a scrum,
yeah,
scrimmage.
Well, look, there look, was... look I think it's terrific that the players did show some fight. It was a shame they couldn't bring that to the table when the first bounce was executed. Don't know what happened there, you know, in terms of the preparation, planning and so forth. You would have thought that the players would be on song against a team that went down by 130-plus points the week before. So I dare say there would have been a number of postmortems conducted, Tone, in the aftermath of that that result. And I suppose it's more a case now of how the players to a man react because the world is watching.
Yes, it is indeed. And you've got to think about the effort expended, as I said, in that hot environment up in Brisbane.
Yes.
The interstate travel and then to turn all that around for a game against Melbourne.
It did look hot. I don't know what the temperature was, but...
I was saying 25 degrees.
Okay. Not that you make an excuse of that. I mean, Brisbane had to play in that condition as well, and I know they're probably more used to it, but... No, you can't use that as an excuse at all for a rather inept opening to the game.
We do want to say congratulations to David Cunningham for making his debut. He was in the back line.
Yes. You know, a player that I think provides Carlton with fleet of foot, and we need that. You know, we do desperately need leg speed around the contest, and I think David Cunningham's a player that will provide that, hopefully, for Carlton from here on in. It's lovely to see him out there. I think Carlton's been a little bit unfortunate that those, you know, national draftees of 2015, you know, Jack aside, haven't really been able to get on the paddock. You know, we haven't seen Harry... Well, Wiedering's the obvious exception there. Jakob Wiedering has been tremendous. But we haven't seen Mackay much of Charlie Curnow this year, and that's been a real shame because I think the one thing we all hoped was that that we would be able to get a few games under the belt of these boys, you know,
and
that's it. So we haven't had that luxury this year. So to see David Cunningham out there, all power to him. We hope that's the first of many for the Carlton Football Club. And as I said earlier, Tone, I think he's a player that can provide exactly what we need, that turn of speed and that fleet of foot around the contest that will not go astray, that's for sure.
Good to see him down the back line. I was watching Simo's game and I was thinking... Talk of a John Nicholls medal for Simo is basically redundant because you're at the point now where you're not talking about a medal for Simo. You're talking about a sainthood. It has to go higher than the Carlton Football Club. He's the patron saint of the backline clearance kick.
I don't know that I'd necessarily put him on the same podium as Mary McKillop, but
he is there.
No, look, he's been tremendous this year. Look, let's not make any bones about it. He's been an enormous player for the Carlton Football Club this year. you've elevated him to sainthood. I'm trying to keep the lid on it.
Can we agree on canonisation at least?
I think canonisation is the end play. I think I'll grant you beatification.
I won't go canonisation.
let's temper it somewhat and let the Vatican go run its course.
Right. Okay. Well, what about a holy day of obligation?
Yeah, that's fair enough. I'll come around to that.
There we go. Two old Micks finally got that one settled. I'm glad to say. Tone, the votes. Now, the three votes, Tone, and the draw line under the Brisbane v. Carlton.
Yes. Game. Well, look, we've lauded the feats of Jack Silvani, and I think he sneaks in for one vote first time.
His first vote on first the vote two tones,
on
well
the two
done.
Tones, and well played, young fella. He's from a good home, that boy. He's from a good home, and he's been great to watch this year, and all power to him. Patrick Cripps, now, hard in mouth stuff, you know, when he hobbled from the ground early with the knee injury, and, I was keeping an eye on Twitter, and people were, there was... pandemonium broke out across Twitter. Is he okay? Is the knee gone? Well, he came back in fine style, and really, I think what I've liked about Cripps' game in the absence of Mark Murphy is the way that he has stood up.
Yeah.
And when we've needed him, obviously he takes the brunt of opposition attention. He seems to relish it, and all power to him. I think his past 5-6 weeks have been tremendous for Carlton, and he's really led the way. Good luck to Patrick.
He's also got a really resilient body.
Oh, he has. In saying that, I think I'm sure that the club has to be mindful, that he's still a young fellow growing, yeah. It's just with Merv's absence, it seems to have all fallen to him, and I just hope that the other players can really provide the support that he will need, because as good as he is, he can't do it all himself. Mm. And three votes, Tone, I've given to another defender, Tui, Z. I thought Zach, again, flew the flare for Carlton for most of the contest. There are others that sort of, I suppose, bobbed up various junctures of the game, but I think Zach... again, another great year. Had another solid performance from a member of the back six. And as we've already spoken about how consistent the defenders have been in terms of their output for Carlton this year. And well played, the Irishman. Very good.
Thank you, Tone. 3-2-1 votes there. Now, the coming game, Carlton v Melbourne, will be your chance to say goodbye to Jammo,
yes,
and Walks.
Yes.
I had a chat to Jammo this
did
week.
You? Did
yes,
you?
Mentioned...
This is an exclusive, yes. Oh, well... What did you glean from the great man, Tone?
Well, that he...
I'm not wanting to put you on the spot here, Tone, but spill your guts.
He called reverse charges. That's not true. No, he was in fine fettle, very at ease with the decision, as
right.
he would be.
Right.
And didn't want to do the whole press conference thing, didn't want to kind of draw attention to himself, but that is what Saturday is about. Sunday.
A few players are going that way these days. I mean, I remember Stephen Silvani and Craig Bradley went out with a press release. They didn't front the media. It was just a standard piece of A4 that was circulated amongst the media throng. And it seems to be... who was it that announced his... Oh, it was the fellow from the West this week announced his retirement via Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
What was his name? The fellow previously at Hawthorn. His name escapes me. Oh, Xavier Ellis. That's right. Thank you, Danielle. So it seems to be the way of the world, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Jammo just sort of went out, just sort of hobbled onto his horse and off into the sunset, didn't he?
I thought a press conference would have been good. He's always good. He's a good press conference performer.
Yeah, I don't know that he necessarily wanted to court the Fourth Estate this time around.
Yes.
But he's in good spirits,
he
Tone.
He is, and there will be an overseas trip, speaking of Zach too. That was the segue. I think he's going to visit the homeland.
Is he?
Later on in the year.
Ah.
The spiritual home of the Jamisons.
Yes, yes.
With some of the Irish boys. So yes. He will be taking a well-earned break.
That's lovely.
With his lovely partner, and then there'll be a sojourn here and there, and then he will sit down and contemplate life after football.
And I'm sure he would have welcomed your call. He would have been rapt to hear you wish him all the best, I'm sure.
it was one of those. He didn't answer when I called. So it was one of those, you know, you convert voice to text.
Did your name come up on the screen?
It must have, yes. He would have been very busy. So all I said was, good luck with your podcasting career.
Terrific.
And even then he called me back, so which proves he's a bigger man than I.
You've done one better than me, because I did send him a text message as well to wish him all the best and tell him that I hope I wasn't out of line in mistakenly calling him Michael Jackson in a post-match interview I did a couple of years ago. He obviously took offence with it because I haven't heard back from him. So sorry, Gemma, if you're listening.
Well, we didn't cover that part. Maybe I should have made a stand for my co-host.
Yes,
on
I think
the two
you should.
Tones, so
I'm
do
most
apologize,
offended
don't.
That you haven't.
Now, so as said, Walker and Jammo will do a lap of honour. You can get an Andrew Walker bobblehead doll.
Yes, and I'm bobbing my head in approval, Tony, as I look at the box of A. Walker, the bobblehead. I hope his knee's not wobbling too, Tony. That would be unfortunate, but... they look terrific. They come in their own gift pack. I can see the Carlton logo emblazoned on. And what I love about it, Tone, is that magnificent grab over the top of Carlisle. Why the hell that wasn't Mark of the Year, I will never know. Oh. But it was in my heart. But and Danielle's just, it's in its own little Perspex carrier with plastic.
Oh, oh!
And it's going right off.
He's inscrutable.
This is inscrutable. He's nodding his approval at the two tones, Tony. Look at that. He said, this is the podcast I want to be on. No, that is magnificent. Are these available for... staffers, Danielle, they are excellent.
Limited edition bobblehead. So how would we get our hands on one, Danielle?
Stay tuned to Carlton Media this week. Details will be coming up very shortly.
There you go. There's an exclusive.
There you go.
And I
must say, just I can see the resemblance. You know, so often with these things, you know, you might get, an Andrew Walker bobblehead that actually looks like Winston Churchill. But this is pretty good likeness, I would have thought. Well, even down to the stubble.
Yes, you're right.
Very impressive. I want one.
Well done. And you should get one, Tone.
Thank you. Thank you.
So that is a Walker and Jammer. They'll do the lap of honour, give you a chance to say thank you for two great careers from two great clubmen who literally could give no more. And that is the doctor's verdict.
That's very true, Tony. Both of them wrung the cloth dry. You know, they'll retire not wondering what might have been. They gave it their all for Carlton. Been fine servants for the game. And I'm sure they will be welcome through the doors of Icon Park whenever they want to return. And let's hope they are here for a long time to come, in whether it's a supportive capacity or a working capacity or whatever. But good luck to them.
Absolutely.
Well played.
Hear. Now, you would remember a year ago, Tone, we said goodbye to Chris Judd, the same game against Melbourne.
Yes,
he did his knee against Adelaide.
The Dangerfield thing. Yeah,
Crow supporters cheered him off, which was quite a magnanimous gesture.
It was. Father Time. It waits for no man, does it? 1 year ago that we said goodbye to the great Chris Judd, and life seems to have been good with him too. He seems to be pretty relaxed and in his own skin these days.
Well, his boys can swim, we know that.
Yes, that's very true. Where are we at with the father-son rule there, Tone? Are we 14 years out from...
No, I think immediately they become possession of the Carlton Football Club. We'll let Beck and Juddy raise them till they're 14,
and then they'll
be taken to a Buddhist monastery. And
so I'm saying 2032, we could expect to see the great OJ running out. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a thrilling prospect.
And I'll be here to see it.
Now, Melbourne are coming off a good win against Port Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval. Not exactly an easy thing to do, but they did it.
I'll tell you what, they're playing some great football at the moment, Tony. They are good to watch, you know. And I suppose what we would say about Melbourne is they are where we want to be.
Yeah.
You know, they've gone through the process of what Brendan Bolton would call a reset, Paul Roos made some hard decisions on that list. Had to weather a fair bit of flack too as they were trying to, you know, tweak their game to get it working. But what we see now are the fruits of those, you know, difficult decisions. And it just goes to show, I mean, there's a classic case study of what is required at this level, at this particular period of the evolution of the game to get a team up and competitive, the upper echelons of the competition. There's no quick fix. There's been a lot of hard decisions made on players. They've made canny decisions with their drafting. You know, you just see fellows like Petrarca going around now, and they're in Brayshaw. They're exciting players to watch. And Carlton will have its work cut out against a team that really has self-belief and knows that there are good days ahead, and they're happening now. So we will be up against it this week, but, you know, we need to come back hard after that disappointment at the Gabba, and I'm sure that the coach will be seeing, will be demanding nothing less than a solid four-quarter performance this week, and let's hope for the supporters that that's exactly what Carlton delivers.
100% effort, 100% of the time.
Yes.
Well said, Tone. Well, get on down to the game. It's Carlton v Melbourne, Sunday the 21st of August at the MCG.
Yes, and Tony, the Carlton Football Club is celebrating the Italian connection this week. They acknowledged the Jewish contribution against Kilda a couple of weeks ago. So this week, Mark Legiudice, the first Italian president of the club, will be lauding the exploits of, I think, 28... Carlton players of Italian origin.
Yeah.
That's a complete team, plus a fairly extensive interchange that have contributed senior appearances for Carlton, senior games for Carlton Football Club. Some of the greats, you know, we've mentioned the Silvanis, and we look at Vinnie Totoggio. One of the great cult figures. Mario Bortolotto played in two premierships, you know, right place, right time. There's been some great players, and of course the great Ronald Dalbarassi has a foot in both camps this week. He'll be at the game, I'm told. I'm not sure whether he's in the Carlton rooms or the Melbourne rooms. I'm not sure. Ron, if you're listening, we know where we want you, Ron, in dark navy in our rooms, please.
Exactly.
But I have got a couple of stories about Ron I'd like to share with you, Tone, in respect of Carlton. Some years ago, there was an Italian team of the century named, best team of league footballers of Italian origin across the board. And Ron was named coach of that team. And I can remember his in his keynote address this particular night the team was named. He was talking about his late father who was killed at Tobruk, as you know. And he said, you know, it's of course I'm of Italian background, my Italian heritage. And the great irony was that my father, Ron Senior, was killed in Tobruk fighting the Italians.
Yes.
And he said if ever I had an opportunity to speak to my father again, I'd ask him the question, Dad, what would you make of losing your life fighting against the Italians? And he'd probably answer me by saying, war is stupid.
Yes.
And so I always remember that line. Another line he had on the night was when he came to Carlton.
Yeah.
He said how the Italian community in Lygon Street really warmed to the outcome. And he said, I couldn't speak a word of Italian. He said, but I do remember walking down Lygon Street the week after the appointment and seeing all these Italian fellows excitedly breaking out into the lingo. He said, I don't know what they said, but I think they like me. So that was recollections of the great Ronald Dale. He'll be there at the game at the weekend, I'm sure, as Carlton acknowledges the contributions of the Italians.
And what a contribution it is. They've brought style, grace, and furious hand gesticulations at bad umpiring decisions. Where would AFL be without the Italians? We love them.
Very true.
Awesome. Well, this has been The Two Tones, episode 28. Tony Mokler and Tony DeBolfo signing off and saying, go Blues.
Ciao, ciao.